I know there's still a few empty spots over here that maybe, and if there's anywhere else where we can kind of squeeze, because this might be a really long homily. So if you want to get comfortable. I am not good with directions. My first few weeks living in Columbia, I got lost driving between Newman and the rectory just 1 mile that way. More than once. I know I should be embarrassed by that, but it's true. But Jesus seems to have an interesting sense of direction as well. And today's gospel says that he left the city of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Decapolis on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. In other words, he went some 20-some miles north in order to go southeast. Now, Jesus has much better sense than I do. So what was he doing? Earlier in the gospel, he was in Galilee teaching the Jews. And the scribes and the Pharisees start hounding him about clean and unclean traditions. And Jesus responded with a big dose of hard truth, calling them hypocrites and exposing the huge gap between their perfect show and their wicked hearts. And he gave a teaching then that food is neither clean nor unclean. Food doesn't make me sinful. How many times do we blame our selfish or angry behavior on being hungry? Right? It's not the food. It's my heart. Food might make me hungry. Food is not the cause of making me angry. Following that incident in the gospel, then, Jesus travels first to this city of Tyre, then to Sidon, then to the Decapolis, all Gentile, non-Jewish cities, as if to illustrate his point that simply being non-Jewish doesn't make someone sinful. Thanks be to God, right? He goes out of his way to stay in Gentile territory and to minister to the so-called unclean people. And in fact, he finds incredible faith in Tyre and now today in the Decapolis. And Jesus had visited the Decapolis earlier in the gospel, where he had exorcised a man with a legion of demons inside of him. And the townsfolk immediately beg him to leave. Please, don't stay here. Get out of here. The man had wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus told him no. Stay in the Decapolis and proclaim to everyone what Jesus has done for you. And this man seems to have actually done what Jesus asked him to do. Beautiful, right? Why do we say that? Because when Jesus today returns to the Decapolis, the people don't ask him to leave. They welcome him and immediately bring him another person to heal. The people beg Jesus to lay his hand on him and heal him. But instead, Jesus takes the man off by himself, away from the crowd. They want a show. Jesus wants a relationship. He knows that this man isn't really known by any of the others. They know him as, oh, there's that mutant deaf guy. Let's get Jesus to heal him. The first thing that Jesus does is to restore his dignity. He gives him a private audience. Isn't that something that you would love to have? A private audience with Jesus. Sign me up, right? There are very few private healings in the gospel, and this is one of them. And Jesus goes through 7 steps to heal this guy. He could have healed him instantly, but he's giving the man time. helping him to understand step by step what he is doing. Because the guy can't hear. What's happening to me? What are you doing to me, right? So the first thing, he takes him away alone. Takes him by himself. Gives him a private audience. Secondly, puts his finger in his ears. Thirdly, he spits on his finger. Fourthly, he touches the spittle to the guy's tongue. Fifthly, he looks up to heaven. Sixth, he groans. And seven, he says, Ephata, be opened. He gives this guy very personalized treatment. And if we're honest about it, notice he really gets into his personal space. Right? Right? He gets incredibly intimate with this guy. Would you be willing to let Jesus stick his fingers into your ears? Right? I'm in persona Christi. Can I? No. All right. Would you be happy for him to rub his spittle on your tongue? If it opened the ears of your heart to his counsel and commands, would you let him do so? If it loosed your tongue to proclaim his words of power over others, his healing words of power over others, would you let him do so? And really, is it any less intimate than eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Why is this story in the gospel? It's there not just because it's revealing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but what he wants to do with you and me today. We need to let him open our ears and to loose our tongues. How regularly do you hear his voice? How regularly do you proclaim his words of power over others and over yourself? When we hopefully read the scriptures on our own, we're getting kind of a private audience with Jesus. When we read the Gospels, how well are we listening? Are we hearing his voice? Now also think for a moment, how do we know about this story at all? It must have come from the man who was healed. No one else was around. And how did this deaf guy know that Jesus said, Ephata? He was deaf. I think Jesus spoke his word not only into the man's closed ears, but into his heart. And isn't that one of the things that really, truly sets Jesus apart from any other human being? When he speaks, he's not just speaking words. He's speaking into our hearts. He's speaking into our lives, into our souls. Jesus healed a much greater deafness, one that most of us need to have healed as well. I think what made and makes Jesus so special is that he speaks not only into our physical ears, but into the ears of our hearts. Are we listening? Have we asked him to open the ears of our hearts? And this is precisely why the church uses this opening rite whenever we baptize infants. And we have an infant baptism. After the baptism proper, I trace the cross on the baby's ears and lips, saying, Ephata. And then, may the Lord soon open your ears to hear his word and your lips to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God. We don't do that because the baby is deaf or mute. We do it because the baby doesn't yet know Jesus. Because we want this baby's life as a disciple to be opened and unmuted. How open are you to letting Jesus into your personal space, to reign over your life, That's what we mean by the words, "Thy kingdom come. Come and reign over me." How open are you to hearing, truly hearing the voice of Jesus speak his counsel and commands into your life? It says in the gospel that Jesus groaned over the man's deafness and muteness. He groans over ours still today. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you listening to the voice of Jesus? Let him stick his finger into your ears. Let him touch your tongue with his divine spittle. Let him groan over you so as to open you to his word and to his speech. Here's the homework for the week. Give Jesus permission this week to make you uncomfortable. If that's what it takes to open the ears of your heart and to loose his words on your tongue. Give him permission to do to you what he did to the man in today's gospel. Listen and obey what you hear. And proclaim everything that he does for you.